Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will indeed encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Tonight, I have a special treat. Mary Blake is returning to us. She is listed, if you Google her, she's listed as one of the top 10 psychics in the world. So it's an honor to have her here and an honor and pleasure to have her as a friend. This happened after I was interviewed on her radio show. She's also a radio show host. She's an author. And then she came on my show, and we formed a close friendship since then. I will share with you her greatest life achievement is that she does something called multi-life therapy, which is a form of past life regression in that she takes you specifically to those lifetimes where you need healing, and she can actually rewrite history in those lives so that you can overcome whatever challenges and traumas you may be facing now in an instant. It happened for me over the course of a couple of weeks as a sex addict in recovery who had had a major relapse. She took me back to a lifetime where I was an English girl who had been raped and become a prostitute. Well, in that session, she took me back to the point before the rape occurred, and I was able to escape. And within a couple of weeks after that, my sexual addiction went away. And there were some other marvelous things that happened in my life that I think played into that too. But let me just share a little bit about her. And for those callers on the line, the ones that I've spoken to, I will get to all of you. So here we go. An errant bolt of lightning out of a clear blue southern Illinois sky wakened Mary Blake's dormant healing ability. 3 weeks later, the shocked 15-year-old overheard herself offering to give someone a massage, meaning a message. Life would never be the same. Strangers began unburdening their innermost secrets to her, only to exclaim, "Why am I telling you this? I never even told my best friend about it." After years of denying her natural talents, she arrived in New York City to open an antique and jewelry concession in the World's Fair. Still in denial of her natural talents, Mary fell in love with Manhattan. Its energy and culture provided the stimulus she needed to prepare for her life's work. At an Association of Humanistic Psychology conference, she met other healers for the first time. A spontaneous healing of her lung cancer compelled her to finally accept her own gifts, and we'll be sure to ask her about how that happened, because that's a miraculous story, where an angel came to her. In gratitude, she committed the rest of her life to healing. Extensive studies with leaders in the field here and abroad enhanced and multiplied her natural talent. As an empath, spiritual coach, and healing energy channel, she has worked with celebrities, business executives, artists, ambassadors, and just plain people. In her spiritual development and self-mastery classes, she works as a catalyst to unleash and develop the latent talents of others. Mary is convinced that the paranormal and extrasensory perception are mankind's birthright that civilization has henceforth repressed and denied. And so with that said, I'm welcoming Mary. Mary, how are you tonight?
I'm just having the most marvelous day.
Oh.
And it's so good to hear you explaining so simply my life pattern, and I am glad to reach out to your audience.
Great. Well, thank you for being here. I know that you are of the same mind as me, and that is that we're in this life to help one another wherever we can, but it can only go so far, and that's the beauty of media. We can spread the message. We can teach other people techniques that they can share with others, because I think you would agree that anybody can develop their psychic intuitive potential.
Yes. It may manifest itself in ways that don't seem like a psychic or spiritual or anything. But we all have within us a genius. And that genius, 99% of the time, lies fallow.
Well, go ahead.
Einstein said that we only use 10% of our potential, and unfortunately, the modern day say that it is far less than that, far less.
I believe that. Start out by just...
When you believe in someone, when you offer them the opportunity to expand beyond what the limitations that others have set upon us, because that's what the ego really is. It's just simply a record of what other people has told us throughout our whole life, and we are conditioned to be far, far less than we actually are.
I wonder why that is. I mean, the ego can play havoc in our lives and can shortchange us in so many ways.
Well, other people repress us because of their egos. It's a vicious cycle, you know.
Well, Mary, would you describe your spiritual journey and weave into it some of your life experience so that those who haven't heard you before can become a little bit acquainted with you?
Oh, my. Well, I spent what some people would consider a whole lifetime in denial, in avoiding, in trying my best to be somebody else's version of normal, and I would not recommend that path to anyone. Really, it's a dreadful waste. But it was a path that I took. I knew I was always weird, but I didn't want to be that weird. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
It takes sometimes a shock to just shake you out of an old pattern. And those patterns are built for us mostly by our surroundings, our teachers, our parents, our friends, what we read and what we decide to believe, because you have to decide to believe something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I believed that in order to be accepted, I had to at least look like I was normal. It was difficult because normal has changed way a great deal over the years, and it was much more strict than it is now.
Can you tell us what happened after the lightning strike, and then how your gifts naturally unfolded up to the point where you discovered multi-life therapy?
Well, 3 weeks after the lightning barely missed me, and it just reverberated through my whole body, and I thought for sure that I'd broken every tooth in my mouth, and my hands were up in a fist, shaking. And 3 weeks later, I went to school, and I looked at one of the fellows that I barely knew. I had never spoken to him personally before, and my mouth just opened and said, "Boy, you look like you could use a good massage." And he said, "Oh, could I?" So I was in shock, but I was taught to never promise something that I wouldn't fulfill. So I had to do a massage. So I got up and walked behind him, and suddenly my hands were just kneading away, and they did whatever was necessary, I guess. And then came a point where I felt I had finished, and I sat down again, and he looked at me like with something like fear in his eyes, and he said, "There's something weird about you." And of course I knew it was weird, so I said, "What now?" You know, and he said, "Well, when you give me a massage, my headache really goes away, and I usually have these migraines for 2 or 3 days. That's why I'm out of school so much." And I said, "That's nice," because I had no idea what a migraine was. I didn't realize that it was something amazing that had happened. I gave him a massage, and his headache went away. And from time to time throughout my life, my mouth would just open up and offer to give somebody a massage. And sometimes it was very uncomfortable because one fellow who had been in the Far East says, "What do you know about trigger points?" And I said, "Oh, I know a lot of things." And that kind of shook me because I had no idea what a trigger point was. But my hands did. So I had to face it when I began yoga, and yoga, you know, it sort of fine-tunes your abilities, and it's kind of like taking your car for a tune-up. And one night I said to the yoga instructor, "You know, you had such terrible back pain, I couldn't concentrate on the lesson." And he said, "How did you know?" And I said, "I don't know. There's things that you just know. I mean, like you look out the window and there's sunlight, right? Or there's moonlight. That you just know these things." "Well, you know, if you've always known them, you just assume everybody knows them, that this is normal." But I found out later that it was not normal at all. But anyway, so he, at that point, he denied it. The next week, he begged me to do a massage. He says, "I thought the pain would go away, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. So could you do it?" So I said, "Sure." And after the class, I gave him a massage. And then the next week, I stopped going to classes because I was house hunting, and I found a place that was inconvenient for those classes for public transportation. And this was like in August of 68, and in March of 69, I realized that I really needed those classes, and so I called him to find out if they were same place, same time. And he said, "Oh my God, thank you for calling." And I kidded him about being desperate for students, and he says, no. He says, "You know that massage you gave me?" He says, "My back hasn't hurt since." And I said, "That's nice, you know." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I've been carrying shrapnel in my back since World War II, and there was no 2 days side by side that I didn't have excruciating pain. But," he says, "the reason I'm so glad you called is that I pulled a ligament in my leg. I want you to fix my back like you fixed my leg like you fixed my back." Well, I panicked. And I was not ready for this at all, so I did something I never do. I lied. I said, "Somebody's at the door," and I couldn't even find the way to hang up the phone. I was in such a state of shock, and I'm sitting there looking at my hand saying, who are you? What do you want with my life? And literally shaking all over. And it took me about 3 weeks to process it and to absorb it and to accept it as a reality that I had avoided for most of my life. And so I decided, well, okay, if I can do that for a stranger, why not do it for the man I love? And I went to work on the guy who was soon to become my husband. And after about 3 months, he was completely cured of a situation that he had had since he was 14, when he severed a ligament in his leg in a gym accident. And they thought it was a broken bone and put on a cast, and by the time they took it off, they had to remove his kneecap and dig in for the ligaments and fasten them together with silver wire, and he was never able to straighten out that leg. And he was so proud, he kind of contorted his body so that he wouldn't limp, you know. And then mm-hmm. he had two major mm-hmm. back accidents, which made it worse. And he had been periodically just immobilized with back pain for maybe 6 weeks at a time. We'd just have to lie on the floor. And he could, after we finished, he could straighten out his leg as if nothing had ever happened. And he never had another back pain as long as he lived.
Wow.
So after that, you'd think that it would be, you know, perfectly normal for me to go out and do it. Well, I became a closet healer for about 9 years, and finally, it took the spontaneous healing from other healers that pushed me over the edge, so to speak. Because, you know, when God gives you gifts and you refuse to even accept them, much less use them, you get little hints and you get little nudges and you get a tap on the shoulder and you get a scream once in a while. And if you manage completely to ignore it, then you just get shoved over the cliff. So that's what happened to me. And I was coughing for an hour and a half, coughing up blood. And I lost my job because of being absent too much. And there I was in the Association of Humanistic Psychologists. And suddenly, sitting in a circle with other psychics for the first time and working on a lady with cancer. And afterwards, I spent some time with another healer. And the evening after dinner culminated in a hug, and it was like somebody opened a blast furnace, and I jumped backwards and banged against the wall and stood there shaking my head saying, what was that? And he said, it was that old energy, you know. I said, how do you do that? I mean, can you turn it on whenever you want to? And he said, nope. He says, it comes when it wants to, and it doesn't come when it wants to. And I proceeded back to my motel, and the next morning woke up and a miracle happened. I took a deep breath and I didn't cough. No blood,
Let's talk about the lung cancer. Would you tell me the story of the angel that came to you?
Well, it was just simply that whole night after the session that hug, it was I just felt the whole night as if I was being held in an angel's arms.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I knew that something enormous had happened, and I knew that my life was changing, and that angel didn't say anything really, but oh my, the feeling. And
well,
I had
I'm
never
talking. I'm talking about the doctor that came to you, and said, you have to let go of the resentment toward your mother.
Oh. Well, that was quite amazing. That was, I didn't even really realize that it was in there until that moment. But I did, there was resentment, of course, because after my father died, my mother married someone who just was, well, Mr. Wrong. That's all it was to it. And it was very difficult for me and led me to make one of the two greatest mistakes in my life. But yes, when you have been hiding something from yourself, which is what I was doing, it takes some miraculous experience to do that. And I did accept. When you have an angelic presence insisting that you do something that you never thought you'd have to do because you didn't know that it was there to be done, that's when you get one of those leaps in consciousness.
Well, as I recall, the story that you told me was this doctor came into your room and told you that you needed to let go of the spiteful feelings you had towards your mother, that you weren't aware of them, and that you thought it was the other way around. And the angel said to you, because you realized after the fact that this man didn't really exist as a doctor, but he came to you as a doctor. He identified himself as a doctor. And he said that you needed to think of three things that you liked about your mother.
Yes. That is true.
And then what happened? And what happened after that?
Oh, what happened after that is that my whole life changed. It became so much easier to live with myself because I could not possibly continue the way I had been continuing before. It was the last few years of her life. It was the best time we ever had. Really was.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you were healed of the cancer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a recurrence. There's never been any kind of a problem of any sort.
Well, let's jump ahead and talk about your book briefly, and then we'll take the callers. But I first want to introduce them to the concept of multi-life therapy, so I apologize to Cindy, who I said I'd bring on 20 minutes into the show. We're now. Would you tell us what the book is about? And also, tell us how you began doing the multi-life therapy.
Sure. The book offers a complete alternative to what most people think of as past life regression. Spirit has explained to me that if we view something as in the past, we cannot accept the possibility that it can be changed. It's written in stone, it's in bronze, whatever, it's over and there's nothing that can be done about it. But if we become aware that time as we know it, is an invention of this plane. In reality, all time is happening simultaneously. So that, imagine if we could go from New York City to deep in the jungle with the Aborigines of Australia. We would suddenly, we'd be on a different planet, a different hemisphere, a different time of year, a different culture, a different surroundings, everything totally different. But it's going on at the same time that time is happening in New York City, correct?
Correct.
So what we do is simply go to another time in another place, and we ask, please, for spirit to take us to a place that something is happening that is interfering with our lives here on this planet at this particular time in our awareness and in our consciousness. Now, the thing that I have learned from my spirit guides, and Stardust especially, because she's my number one spirit, she says there is only one time, and it's now. It's only one place, and it's here. So we simply go to another here and another now, which means that we can get things done there, because here and now is the only time you can do anything, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So,
or here and then, as it may be.
Wherever we here is a now.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody else's then is your now.
Right.
Okay, so then we, in that now, I am dispensed with. As soon as I get us there, and as soon as by questioning, I find out where we are and what's going on, I go into a light trance, and spirit takes over. And spirit then works with both incarnations simultaneously. Because the person from the 21st century who is having the experience is aware of their consciousness, but they are also aware of the incarnation that we are visiting. And they can communicate back and forth, and perhaps you can think of it, you can even instantaneously share knowledge, kind of like the in Star Trek, you'd have the Vulcan mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, here we are, and I'm just kind of floating there, watching and observing, and in my little space that I move over to make room for spirit. And I'm observing and listening, and spirit takes the client backwards and forward within that other lifetime to completely circumvent the catastrophe or the happenings that are interfering with the client's happiness and success and their ability to unleash their genius and to live the best way they can in the 21st century. And those experiences are completely real, and they become part of the core consciousness of the whole self. And as I have been trained to believe and accept, the whole self is the accumulation of all the wisdom and all the compassion of all our lifetimes blended together. And when you change one lifetime for the better, you often change many lifetimes for the better. Now, I've also been taught that nothing that ever happened to anyone is important. Ever, any time, any way. The only thing that is important is how those events and how those experiences and how that those happenings affect the consciousness. So even though this may not change, will may not change newspaper articles, it will not change tombstones, it will not change a lot of so-called material things. The only important thing is how it changes the consciousness.
And the current life.
Of course.
And the past life.
And the other lives.
Other, okay. Well, let's take a break here. First of all, I want you to put out the name of your book, because it is, I've read it. It reads like science fiction, but every bit of it is real. So if you would put out the name of your book and where it can be obtained so the listeners can purchase it.
Surely. It is Journals of a Healer. And the subtitle is A Personal Account of Ventures Beyond Time, Space, and So-Called Reality.
It can be obtained
at Amazon and many other booksellers worldwide.
Okay. Would you be willing to take a call?
Gladly.
Okay. The first caller, her name is Cindy, and I've forgotten what her question is. I should have made a note, but that's all right. Cindy, hello there.
I'm sure she remembers.
Hi there. I just
love
Cindy. Your subject.
Oh, thank you.
I'm fascinated with everything that you've had to say. I had a past life regression done several years ago, and it just turned me around. I kept thinking, why am I having such relationship problems?
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, the man that I was married to abandoned me over and over and over again. When I was 40, he died in this lifetime. So what was happening is every time we'd get together, I would be abandoned in some way, where he'd go out to sea and never come home type of thing. And it was just very stressful for me to, try to figure out what this feeling was that I was feeling. And it was abandonment. And when my session was done, I was like the deer in the headlights going, oh, my gosh, was it that simple? was that the explanation? So I totally understand what you're talking about. And I just love it.
Well, good.
I'd love to have a session with you.
Well, where do you live?
I live in Maine.
Okay. Are you ever in New York City?
Not unless I go there.
Okay. Well, I'd love to work with you in person here in my home, but if that's impossible, we certainly could arrange to do it telephonically.
I did it telephonically, and it worked very well for me, Cindy.
I know, but I'll
she took me to
really great.
Yes. Oh, yes. And Mary is a delightful soul. Mm.
The main thing, your main job in the whole thing is to stop thinking. Because the minute you start analyzing and wondering if you're imagining it and thinking about this or that or the other thing, it just kind of, throws a stick into the wheel,
Yeah, it makes me crazy.
Yeah, sure. That's one of the ways we prevent ourselves from receiving the gifts of spirit, By just thinking too much about it and wondering if it's real or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You do meditate, right?
Well, I guess in my own way I do yoga.
That's meditation.
Yes.
This is true meditation, where the spirit and the body are really in harmony. for that short time while you're doing the yoga. And
call it meditation.
You can meditate. There are all kinds of forms of meditation. You don't have to sit and delve into your navel, you know.
Right.
You can meditate through with music. You can meditate by sinking into the center of a flower. You can meditate by just being absorbed by a sunset. You can meditate in so many ways.
Oh, I agree with you. I see kayak, and I just love sitting on an island and sitting up, mm-hmm. you know, on the sand and just mm-hmm. sitting there looking at things.
Sure.
Well, Mary, let me jump in for a minute. For those people who would like to have a telephone session with you, would you be willing to provide your telephone number for them?
Well, you know, yes, it might be better even to make the appointment but through email.
Okay, well, why don't you put out your email address then? I think that's probably better, so that your telephone number is not broadcast for somebody that might not have kind intent.
That just might indulge in malicious phone calls, which have happened
correct.
In the past.
Correct.
Yes. You can reach me at Mary at themaryblake.com. I wanted something really easy to remember. And I will get back to you, and we can make our arrangements when at a time which is convenient for both of us. Does that work?
Oh yeah, that's terrific.
Good.
Yeah,
okay.
I was just curious to. I'm very curious to know about what my blocks are and what I need to let go, because I think I've made some progress, and I just, you know, and like you said about the thinking, stop thinking. But I'm totally trying to change my life at this point, and you know,
that's a good time to do that. That's a good time to do this. Very good time to do this. It clears away. It just knocks down a whole bunch of blocks.
Well, Cindy, thank you for calling in. We're going to move on, but just to let everybody know, we have some wonderful shows coming up. We have Dr. Kahu Kahealani coming back, who's a metaphysical minister from Hawaii. We have Diane Wing, who is a very spiritual person. She's an author and a radio host. We have Richard Rohr, who's an internationally best-selling author and a Franciscan priest and mystic. He has written many books. One that we will be talking about is Breathing Underwater, which is understanding 12 steps for people that have been in 12-step programs. We have Bob Bell, a healer. We have Reverend Leroy Lowell, a Unity minister, who has 36 years of recovery through AA and is also a recovered sex addict. And we have many, many more, including Chris Glazer, who's a best-selling author and a gay minister. So please tune in. The show is on Thursdays at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time and Fridays at 7:30. And, Cindy, thank you for calling, and best wishes to you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on. The next caller is Tammy, and Tammy has a question about her business dealings. Tammy, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello,
sure.
Tammy.
Hi. I've just been trying to pull some business projects together, and it seems like they just keep falling short, and I was just curious if there's something that I'm doing that's blocking it or something that I'm not aware of that, you know, isn't being able to get the contract signed or something. I'm just kind of at a wit's end about it. So.
Well, I would say first thing, drop the word try. You're not trying.
Okay.
You're working at it. If you want to define, want to be aware of the difference, drop a pen on the floor and try to pick it up.
Okay.
What did you do?
Did you hear what she's saying?
I do pick it up.
Okay.
That's not
okay.
Trying. That's not
right.
Trying.
I get it.
Trying is putting the, leaving the pen on the floor and going,
Okay, I get it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So first of all, stop trying.
Okay.
If it's worth doing, it's worth everything that you've got.
Okay.
I believe it's very important for you to think things through.
Yes. I mean,
You're approaching it by wishing it can happen. If you change your approach just a little bit to thinking about how much you can give to the situation, how wonderful it will be for other people when it happens.
Okay.
Then you are placing the emphasis not on being scared that it might not happen, to feeling how positive it might be. If you cannot feel how positive it will be for you and for others,
okay.
then it might be that you need to change your approach, or you need to become aware of the value that you are providing.
Okay.
If you think only about the money that you can get and the excitement of doing it, you will get one kind of result. If you focus on the tremendous value that you want to give the world, then you will begin to feel a completely different energy. You'll be sending out different energy, and you will receive different energy. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does, and I can see where I've been doing that for quite a while, so I get it.
Okay.
Even though I've been working on what you're saying, I've been following. Hard, so.
You've been trying too hard. I know. if you can imagine yourself already having it, and feel fantastic about it, and know that you're really, really making a contribution to the world. Then it's just a matter of time before something wonderful happens to you.
Okay.
Yes, try affirmation and visualization. What I think Mary is getting at is that look at the situation as if it's something that you already possess in the here and now. Put it forward as an affirmation that it is accomplished, and say it out loud as if you believe it, and it will manifest. Is that right, Mary?
Well, with one caveat, you do need to recognize where you are now.
Yes.
And think of yourself as on a very long country road, and you can see, admit where you are, but you can see where you're going, and you're aiming at it, and think of it like almost like a slingshot. The further you are from where you're going, where you want to go, where you know that you should be, the more tension that you build up. I'm here, and that's where I'm going. I'm here, and that's where I belong. I'm here, and there is my path.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That will draw you rapidly Okay. And remember the power of the slingshot, as Goliath learned.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I appreciate it so much.
Tammy, thank you for calling in. We're going to move on to the next caller. And Mary, thank you for the caveat. I already held that in my mind's eye and just left that out of what I was saying. So thank you for the reminder, because I can see where I have made the mistake and left the caveat out. And,
well, the last
not,
thing in the world you want when you repeat an aphorism and state something that doesn't exist as if it already exists is for that little nasty voice inside you. If you say, "Oh yeah, look
right.
who you are,"
right.
Okay,
I
so
that
yeah, okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Tammy.
So go for it.
You have
Tammy.
A nice evening.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Our next caller is Jill, and I'm bringing Jill on the line.
Hello.
And, well, hello, Jill.
Thank you for the show, both of you.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're glad to be here.
My question is, I come from an extremely toxic family, and I've suffered a lot of trauma. And I've been working really hard to heal myself and get clarity and move away and change my belief system, you know, all the lies that have been told to me about myself. And, you know, I'm still blocked, and I can't break through it. I don't know what it is.
Okay. In between lifetimes, you just plain didn't think it through. A lot of us leave a lifetime, and in that instantaneous expanded awareness, look back and say, "Oh my God, what did I do? Oh, this is terrible! What I have done in that lifetime. I've got to make up for it. I've got to. Maybe if I suffer, it will all become right, and I'll be forgiven." And we choose to come in to a family that will torture us,
yes.
betray us, that will
yes.
that will
yes.
do everything in the world to humiliate us and punish
yes.
us, which we think we deserve. Now, all you have to do is to let that go and say, "Okay, this was what I chose, and this is what I have had up till now, but I can change my mind. I am going to choose something else. I'm going to choose a family that will nurture me, that will love me, that will respect me, and support me in my dreams and the fulfillment of my potential in this lifetime, and go about building that family." Now, the family that you choose is very often much, much better than the family that you originally came in with. You didn't need to suffer, but you decided that you really had to suffer. And that's something that highly principled people often do. So here you are, and I know you have friends, but I'm not sure the kind of friends you have chosen. So from this moment on, choose to be surrounded by people who are willing and able and ready to be your family, your spiritual family.
Jill, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Jill, has there been any alcoholism in your family?
Yes, but they're not like falling down drunks.
Doesn't matter. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Are you familiar with...
Actually, when they drink, they're nicer. It's like that.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Are you Are you familiar with Al-Anon, which is for families of alcoholics?
Yes, I've heard of it. I've never participated, but I've heard of it.
I would suggest
you
try it.
Do you feel that your family is alcoholics, or do you feel simply that somehow they resent you?
Somehow they resent me, maybe because I'm different.
Okay.
You know, I have a heart.
Okay.
So I think maybe they see that as weak. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that doesn't matter, because you must build your own universe.
Okay.
You must build your own family, a family that will nurture you and support you.
In other words, create your own family.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Choose them deliberately and choose them carefully. Let go. You may notice that some of your so-called friends are toxic as well.
Yes, absolutely.
I would suggest a winnowing to get rid of all the negative influences. And you can do it one by one. You don't have to turn your life completely upside down, but seek for the positive influences, and just embrace them. Honor and respect the people who honor and respect you, and let all of that other stuff go. Because
the reason I suggest Al-Anon to you is it's a wonderful way to build family. And whether or not there's been alcoholism in your past, if you have been involved with toxic relationships or dysfunction or are the survivor of trauma, you will find people who will share their experience, strength, and hope that you will be able to relate to and learn a new way of life. And you can create such close bonds with these people. And there's a woman on the line that could testify to this. Her name is Patricia. And she's blushing right now, but she's saying, I love you anyhow. And she is not going to be talking with Mary, but she was introduced to a program, and I'm not going to identify her further because these programs are anonymous. But she has found tremendous healing, and this is just in the course of like 4 or 5 months. So I would encourage you to Google Al-Anon in the city that you live and attend a meeting and try at least 6 meetings before you determine if it's right for you. It will change your life. I can guarantee it.
Okay. Yeah.
I have one other caller to get to. Do you have a final question for Mary?
Thank you. That was so helpful. I was getting the chills. And, you know, it's a whole different door that opened for me, the information that you gave me.
I caused those truth chills.
Yes, that's what it was.
Okay, good. I'm so glad you had that breakthrough. Bye.
I did.
Okay.
Thank you, Jill. Okay,
have
a good night. You're welcome.
Okay, I'm going to hang on the line and keep listening.
Great.
Good.
And come back again. And
I will.
Listen to Mary's show. Mary, when is your show on?
It's Wednesday at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time, and the phone number to connect to it is 773-897-6549.
Is this
Beautiful.
A blog talk show?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
What's the name of it?
Journals of a Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. And I'm going to stay on. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, Jill.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
One other thing that I want to say about Mary is that her sessions are more powerful than going to a psychiatrist. It costs less than one session with a psychiatrist, and you can be healed or work towards healing in the course of one session. So do not be deterred by the fee. It's not cheap, but it is a lifesaver, and it's much less than you'd spend for an hour on a psychiatrist's couch. So now who do we have on the line now? Go ahead. We have somebody on the line. Hello?
Hello?
Whoops, she's gone. What were you going to say,
okay,
Mary?
I had one spiritual leader who said she got more out of one 2-hour session with me than she had gotten out of a lifetime of traditional therapy.
Wonderful. Well, for the two other callers that are on the line, you have previously told me that you did not want to speak with Mary, but if you've changed your mind, hang up and call back, and I'll know that you want to speak with her. We have 5 minutes left. And in the meantime, I'm going to ask Mary, what are the benefits of multi-life therapy that haven't been covered already?
They're as individual as the people who undergo them. I mean, one doctor, for example, I had no idea who was a doctor. He came in looking like Mr. Joe Normal, you know. He could disappear into any crowd. And he was, he went back into a lifetime in the Olmec or Aztec period, where he was a child who was scheduled to be sacrificed. And a spirit told him to go out into the courtyard and find a sharp stone and make a cut in his forearm. And I was shocked at the suggestion. And then when he did it, he said, "Now run to the priest and cry loudly and say, I fell in the courtyard and hurt myself." And believe it or not, he switched into this Olmec or Aztec language when he was communicating to the priest, and then translated what the priest had said back to me, and which the priest was horrified. "Oh, this is a catastrophe. Now you can't be sacrificed. You're not perfect anymore." The priest then went to the high priest, who berated him for allowing something like that to happen, and said, "We're going to have to get his parents in here to take him away in shame." And the parents came, and he wound up living a wonderful life and making great contributions to society.
Mm. Mary, let me jump in for a minute. We have 3 minutes left, and Regina has called back. And Regina, did you have something you wanted to ask Mary?
Oh, do you hear me, David?
I do.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't really call back, but I'm here.
Do you have a question?
Well,
that can be answered in a minute.
Well, how does she see the condition with my heart going on right now? I have a heart condition. I don't know if that's something appropriate to even ask.
Well, we can
have
also
you changed
run
your
over.
Diet?
Change my diet. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm working on that. More salads.
Be careful what kind of dressing you put on them.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm laughing.
Okay.
Not Price Chopper Thousand Islands, huh?
No.
Okay.
Mary and Regina, we can run over a little bit, so if you want to talk for a minute, that's okay.
Regina, I think the main thing that you have to work on is loving yourself more.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Jesus said, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." Would you really want to treat your neighbors like you treat yourself?
No. Nope, I treat them pretty good, but I got some work to do.
You sure do.
Yeah.
You really do. The heart chakra in maladies generally indicate a lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
And how is anybody else going to love you fully if you don't love yourself?
I'm getting that more and more. Yep.
Loving yourself is not being selfish. Loving yourself is nurturing yourself, and you have to remember that you cannot take care of anybody unless you first take care of yourself. Remember the airplane. What does it say when the oxygen tank oxygen mask come down?
Put it on yourself first.
That's right. So you'll have the strength to help others. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, why are you supposed to do that?
Huh?
Why do you suppose they do that? This is a commercial airline. This is not a spiritual thing. And yet it is.
So I'll be useful.
Because everything is spiritual. We are, as David said at the beginning, we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Mm-hmm.
If our bodies were not sacred and precious, do you think, and very, very useful, do you think that an immortal spirit would waste its time locking itself into this body for an indeterminate period of time?
No. It's been through the first part of my life, I put it through a little bit too much, and now I'm trying to do repair work.
Okay.
You know, so...
Okay.
I'm trying to balance out a bad start.
Well, stop trying and work on it.
Okay.
Just do it. Just do it.
Just do it.
And respect your body. You can apologize to your body. And ask specifically, command the resources inside your body that you have been denying to do their magic, to do the work, to heal and repair and perfect your body at its rapid and most efficient rate.
Okay.
You see, doctors put limits on us, and often those limits are determined on whether or not they're afraid they might be sued.
I'm laughing, but I know that's the truth. Yeah, ka-ching is the word for medical practice nowadays, it seems.
Okay, that's right.
Well, listen, my dear, I'm going to say goodbye to you. We have one more person that's called back.
Oh.
So I want to give her a chance to talk to Mary as well. And thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you, Regina. I love you.
Thank you very much,
Mary. Even if you don't.
Okay. God bless you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia, hello.
Hello.
You called back.
Yes, I did.
Hello again.
I haven't spoken to you, Mary, but you may feel my spirit, and I want to say that the consciousness of this entire program, I it spoke to me, and
thank you.
Connect with David. I connect with you. The last two callers, you answered me. Confirmation in the awareness, in the consciousness, the instruction, the information you gave spoke to me.
Oh, good.
I would love to confer and confirm with you another time. And I send my love to you and to David, and I appreciate you, and I feel your genuineness. I feel your truth.
Can you feel me hugging you?
Thank you.
Okay.
Back to you and the heart chakra. You were just absolutely speaking to me. The dysfunctional young lady earlier, you spoke. All the callers, you speak truth. You speak truth, and the awareness is flashing. It's just flashing through this whole hour, and I wanted to just add my love as part of this growing large circle of conscious awareness. Thank you very much. Much love.
Oh, you're much welcome.
Mary, will it be okay if I later, not on the show, but later give Patricia your phone number?
Absolutely. Yes, I feel that this is something that is important, and I will be I will be glad to arrange for a consultation with her. Surely.
Very good.
I'd like to say to Patricia that the reason the truth comes is before I work, I have a prayer affirmation in which I offer myself as an instrument for divine purpose. Okay. That's it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, Patricia knows how to do that too. I know her. She's like a sister to me. She too is a new friend of the last year, and we've grown as tight as can be, and I love her as if she was my own sister.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
There is someone else out there who's not verbally reaching out, but spiritually reaching out, and
yes.
I have to say, you are far better than you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
are more worthy. You are more valuable. You have so much to give, and I'd like to see you take the governor off.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, Mary, thank you so much. Before we close, I would like to run an ad on my latest book, Shades of Gay by David Clark, if you'll indulge me for a moment.
Love it. I love the
fact that prepare to be shocked. Prepare to be moved. Prepare to laugh. Prepare to cry. And prepare to be inspired. Dive into David Clark's latest book, Shades of Gay, and you will find yourself plunged into the trenches of sexual addiction. You will embark upon a kaleidoscopic tour from the abyss to higher ground. In the beginning, it was love at first sight when Daniel and Mark met, but through the years, that same love became tainted. Daniel, an alcoholic and sex addict, has found himself unable to resist the lure of other men. When Mark discovers his infidelity, he leaves Daniel, who begins a dark descent into sexual tryst after tryst. Shades of Gay reveals the myriad desires a lost man can permit his body and soul to revel in despite the pain they bring. But can such fleeting moments of pleasure bring meaning to life? Will Daniel realize the love he had with Mark is worth more than the sweat spent in other men's beds?
And just to toot my own horn, the book has received all 5 out of 5 star reviews on Amazon.com, where it's available at a discounted price. And Mary, thank you so much for being here tonight. It has been a joy.
Well, I enjoyed it immensely, and it was wonderful to be able to reach out and to respond to your callers.
Well, I think that you may have obtained a few clients as a result of this. So hopefully that will be the case, and that your prosperity will be increased, and that you will be able to help other people heal from current lifetime challenges. The only thing that's missing is the answer to about a dozen questions I didn't get to, so I'm going to ask you if I can bring you back on again sometime in the future.
I will be happy to respond to your call.
Thank you, my dear. So now we come to a close. We can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are indeed spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.